Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to an encore edition of the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. This is a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your questions for my special guest, his name is Joe Dallas. We'll talk about him a little more and then introduce him to the broadcast in just a moment. We're going to be talking about a cover story in the Christian Research Journal titled Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs, Transgenderism, Homosexuality, and Things Related will be the topic of today's broadcast. I want to start out by talking about an article that I read in USA Today. This, of course, is basketball season. Last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers just waxed the Toronto Raptors. And tonight, the Warriors are going to try to dig themselves out of a hole against the Oklahoma Thunder. So we're right in the middle of the postseason in basketball, the playoffs, and a lot of people who love basketball are glued to their television sets. But here's what the commissioner, Adam Silver, of the NBA reiterated. The All-Star Game, which is the big event in the NBA, will not be played in Charlotte next February if hatred, bigotry, and discrimination continue to be the law of the land in North Carolina. And North Carolina lawmakers have shown no signs of budging from their hateful stance. Nancy Armour, who writes in USA Today, points out that Bruce Springsteen, Boston and Pearl Jam, and many, many other artists have canceled concerts in North Carolina, that PayPal has dropped plans for a global operation center in Charlotte. And if those public shamings were not enough to promote a change of heart, no amount of pretty pleases by Silver and the NBA will either, according to Nancy. She points out that the best way to deal with bullies, and says there's no other way to describe North Carolina's small-minded lawmakers, is to stand up to them. And with as popular as basketball is in North Carolina, home to Steph Curry and Michael Jordan, the NBA pulling the All-Star game would be the strongest statement yet that intolerance has no place in today's world. Her conclusion is that North Carolina's HB2 is discriminatory law, is hurtful, and is hateful. Now think of all those words that she used in one article. Hateful, hurtful, bigotry, discrimination, bullies, small-minded lawmakers, intolerance. The rhetoric has ratcheted up on a subject, and I can tell you that there is not a day that has gone by in the last month that I did not read two or three front-page news articles on this subject. And all of that led me to ask Joe Dallas to write a cover story for the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, which is going to be out very, very shortly. And it is available for those who support the ministry in the month of June. You can order your copy in advance by simply contacting us on the web at equip.org. It's available for your support. Or writing me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Joe Dallas, he's been on the broadcast many times. He's program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. It's a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. And he is a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's author of some incredible books on human sexuality, including A Strong Delusion and his forthcoming Speaking of Homosexuality. He's been on the broadcast many, many times. He wrote the cover story for the issue of the journal that I just mentioned of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs is the title. He also wrote this, another article that's just fantastic, is Gay Christian, an Acceptable Identity. This is must reading for every Christian on the planet. As always, Joe, it's great to have you on the broadcast.
Hey, good being here, Hank.
You know, I want to start out with a very simple question, and that is the issue at hand, the issue that I tried to set forth in the opening to the broadcast, is this a primary issue or a secondary issue?
That's an important question because, Hank, if it is a secondary issue, why are we bothering? And I think that if we cannot be persuaded to change our position as believers, the next tactic will be to get us to see that position as a secondary issue, which we don't really need to stand firm on, just as we would not break fellowship over, say, when we may or may not believe the rapture of the church is going to happen, or over which gifts of the Spirit are available today. We would not call those primary issues. And so I would argue that this is a primary issue for a number of reasons, the first being the very account of creation. Hank, we can't get around this simple fact. To be human is to be sexual, and to be sexual is to be male or female, and to be male or female is to have an assigned sex given to us with our Creator's foreknowledge. Those are foundational truths. When we try to alter them, we create madness. And candidly, just listening to you now, describing the current scene, what other word could you use other than madness?
Joe, I kind of set this up at the opening of the show, but give us some kind of an idea of what you're driving at, what the subject matter is that we are underscoring in the broadcast when you talk about Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs.
Yes, we're talking about a couple of things simultaneously. We're talking about transgenderism, Hank, which is a broad common term covering primarily the more technical term transsexual. A transsexual is an individual who feels that he or she was born with the wrong body and is in fact a member of the opposite sex. So a transsexual male will say, I know I have the body parts of a male, but all my life I have felt I am a woman. That is a condition commonly called gender dysphoria. When a transsexual realizes he or she has that condition, a decision has to be made. Either I am going to treat this condition as though it is a problem which I need to manage and deal with, or I'm going to give in to it and say that the problem is my body, not the condition. Now, traditionally, Hank, we have believed that if someone believes they are in the wrong body, the problem is their belief. Only recently have we come to begin believing as a culture that the problem is actually the body and not the belief. Now, there's the rub, because as more people come forward and say, I demand the right to determine for myself what my sex is, regardless of what my anatomy testifies, there is concurrent with that a demand that the culture come into agreement with that assessment. And so more and more people who are saying, I am a female, even though they have male parts, are also demanding that we refer to them as females, and that reference needs to extend itself even to which bathroom and shower facilities they use. That is the crux of the controversy we're facing, really, on a national level, but as you have said, specifically now in North Carolina, although, as you know, Hank, President Obama has sent out a letter from a federal position, basically saying that schools will need to comply with Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination, and he is interpreting sex discrimination as discrimination against students who identify as transgender. So what we are seeing a resistance to is the federal-based move to force women and girls to allow males, anatomical males, into their showers or their bathroom facilities or vice versa, simply based on the male saying, I am a female and that's all I need to say.
You point this out in the article, but there are people who are in very significant positions in our culture. I think of Governor Haley, South Carolina, Krauthammer, who is a commentator on Fox News. Both contend that HB2 represents a fabricated problem.
Well, I wish they were right. I wish that I was overreacting. I wish that millions of us who are concerned about this were overreacting. But Hank, the problem has already shown itself. It's not fabricated. It's now historical. There are already a number of cases, which I've cited in the article we're talking about in this special edition of the journal, in cases in which men have seized on this new opportunity to enter into women's restrooms and changing rooms. And they are not transsexual men. They are simply males, because you really do not, in order to take advantage of these new laws, you don't have to really be transsexual. All you have to do is say, I am a woman. And that gives you access into the women's facility. So there are two reasons we're concerned about this. One is the very real problem of sexual predators. We know they exist. We know that to some extent they will always prey on victims, but this gives a green light to them like they've never had before. The second problem is the violation of a girl, the violation she will feel having to share toilet facilities or shower facilities with an anatomical male, whether that male is in any way physically violating her or not, she will feel violated by his presence because of what we would call natural modesty. We're trying to rip natural modesty away from women and force them to accept communal showering and toilet use with anatomical males, all for the sake of catering to a very minuscule percentage of the population, which is making this demand.
Talking to Joe Dallas, and Joe is program director of Genesis Counseling in Tustin, California. It's a Christian counseling service to men dealing with sexual addiction, homosexuality, and other sexual relational problems. He's a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's an author. He's written some of the best books on human sexuality. They're on the top of my reading list always when I get to this very significant subject. Included in the books that he's written, A Strong Delusion and the forthcoming Speaking of Homosexuality. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk about gender identity. As of 2014, Facebook offered 56 separate categories of gender identity. The trend goes beyond degendering. It goes into dehumanizing. In fact, there are categories like other kins. In other words, people containing non-human identities such as animals or spirits. Going to be talking to Joe about that, particularly in that the New York City Commission on Human Rights, they have an actual courtesy code that we have to follow. And if someone believes that they are being discriminated against because of the language we use, there's a number to call. All of this is very serious. And I've said it many times, but the problem is not pagans. They're just exercising their job description. It's Christians. We, too, need to exercise our job description. That is to be salt and light. We'll be right back with Joe Dallas and more of the broadcast in just a few moments. So please don't touch that dial.
In The Lord of the Rings, Tolkien's character Faramir voices the thoughts of countless soldiers throughout history. War must be, while we defend our lives against a destroyer who would devour all. But I do not love the bright sword for its sharpness, nor the arrow for its swiftness, nor the warrior for his glory. I love only that which they defend. If you too love what together we defend, our faith, biblical truth, and our freedoms, become a member of CRI's support team today by calling 888-7000-CRI. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his new black leather-bound, silver-embossed, complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. If you liked the old edition, you're going to love the new one. Call 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or simply visit our website at equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after the break. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate states they belong to the opposite gender? Through recent legislation, some states are answering yes, while others are answering no. Christians must determine how they should respond to this controversy. Other topics include, is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Why biologists tend to make bad ethicists, and much more. Stand with the Christian Research Institute. And as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. www.cris.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. Or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're talking about a cover story in the upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry. You can get your copy online at equip.org. It is available once again for your gift, or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We'll be taking some of your calls later on in the broadcast. The title of the article, Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs. Again, it is the cover story. There are other articles in this journal, including Is Gay Christian an Acceptable Identity? This is also a very significant article. But of bathroom bills and basic beliefs, Joe Dallas is pointing out that people who feel they belong to a particular gender, should they be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificates state that they belong to the opposite gender? Though recent legislation says, yes, some states are answering in exactly the same way, while others are simply countering with an NO. Christians must determine, and I think this is the key point, they have to determine how they should respond to this controversy. Again, talking to Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling. He's the author of many books on human sexuality. You can find them on the web at equip.org. But Joe, just before we went to the break, I was talking about something that you wrote about in your article in the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. And that is, as of 2014, Facebook offers 56 separate categories of gender identity. And the New York City Commission on Human Rights identifies 31 gender identities. In New York City, of course, it's illegal to discriminate on the basis of gender identity and gender expression. If you do, it is considered a form of harassment, and therefore, the New York City Commission on Human Rights is teaching people how you have to speak on this subject, because if you don't speak in the way they're telling you to speak, it, again, can be considered a form of discrimination or harassment. And they even give a number to call if you think that you might have been harassed, if your rights might have been violated. What's all of this leading to, Joe?
This ultimately, I think, is leading to a complete eradication of eternal distinctives like male and female, just as I believe there's a move to eradicate distinctions between truth and error, because if you eradicate those distinctions, then you pave the way for someone to come along and say, basically, there is a great void here. I will take it over. And I really believe, ultimately, that's what we're being set up for. Hank, honestly, if you look at this, you've got to see the psychological, the social, and the spiritual ramifications. Psychologically, people have a condition, and it must be an incredibly deeply ingrained condition. Hank, for somebody to say, I'm in the wrong body, I'm going to alter my body, have surgery, pump myself with steroids and hormones and who knows what else, and go through all of this, they must feel this very, very deeply. This is not just a whim these people are going through. It is a very deeply ingrained condition. And if they decide to give into it and try to literally become a member of the opposite sex, I believe strongly their own conscience testifies against them. I believe their anatomy testifies against them. I believe the Holy Spirit testifies against them. And that is leading them to an awareness that something is wrong. Now, when you're aware that something is wrong, you will seek redemption through the cross or through the culture. You'll either go to the cross and say, I have a problem. My feelings take me in the wrong direction. I submit myself to you and your will, Lord. Or you're going to go to the culture and you're going to say to the culture, take away my reproach. Tell me that I'm right and silence anyone who tells me I'm wrong. That's a psychological issue we're dealing with. A social issue is the need the culture has to be benevolent. People need a cause. I mean, I remember first reading about the underground movement in Europe, which resisted Hitler. And I was somewhat jealous of these men and women who fought a noble fight to defend a persecuted minority. Hank, I think people need that. They need some persecuted person to fight for. And I think that helps explain why the culture so gets on the bandwagon, using such extravagant words as hatred and bigotry and backwards and so forth, because I think that people in our culture need a noble cause to fight. And so they are painting this as though it is a noble cause for them to fight, in which they defend the victimized transgendered against the persecuting conservatives. And of course, overriding all of this is the spiritual principle. Now think about it. What was Lucifer's statement that was so significant? I will ascend to the Most High. In other words, I will usurp. And I think Satan's goal ultimately is to get humanity to usurp God's position, which is exactly what happened in Romans 1, isn't it? The creation decided to reject the authority of the Creator. We are demanding for ourselves divine rights, the right to state what is, which is only God's right. Only God can say, this one is male, this one is female. That is the Creator's prerogative. We are attempting to usurp that prerogative. And I think that movement to do what Satan himself wants to do ultimately must be to some extent empowered by Satan as well. So with all those three elements working together, you got some pretty powerful soup getting cooked here.
Dr. Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California, also the author of some incredible books on human sexuality. And he has written the cover story for a special issue of the Christian Research Journal, available for those who support the ministry all this month. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Also, we will be going to your calls in just a little bit. I want to read just a sentence or two from your article and then have you comment. Because this, I think, is stunning. You say when cultural icons such as Bruce Springsteen and Ringo Starr dismiss objections to gender-specific bathrooms as hatred, something more than diversity is happening. Society is being taught not only to reject the Bible's directives regarding sex and gender, but also to view them as evidence of hatred and to view those of us who promote them as peddlers of bigotry who need to be stopped. You go on to point out examples of the iron boot of the LGBTQ community, examples from Dan Savage to Larry Kramer.
Yes, and in all fairness, Hank, there are many homosexual people who would not support the iron boot approach. I do make a distinction often between homosexual people and the gay rights movement, because the gay rights movement is the social political movement to legitimize homosexuality and punish whoever objects to that legitimization. Homosexuals themselves often are not even a part of that. But what you're saying is very true. I believe that religious liberty in America is severely threatened by this redefinition of conviction and the morphing of the word conviction or belief into words like hatred or discrimination. Because after all, Hank, if someone is hateful, if they're a bigot, then anything they say can be discounted. You've pretty much shot their arguments down, not because you disproved their arguments, but because you smeared their character to the extent that no one will take them seriously. And this is what makes me feel a little crazy sometimes when I read the kind of newspaper articles you were mentioning earlier. No one has ever objectively proven that the Christian position on sexual morality is hateful. No one has proven that. There is no solid evidence whatsoever because it's not hate. If you disagree or disapprove, you are not hating. You are simply holding a position based on a worldview. If you hurt people who disagree with you, if you silence them, if you injure them, if you humiliate them, then you're being hateful. Well, that's not what Christians are doing. But I think that one of the smartest tactics this movement has utilized is the tactic of convincing the public that if people disapprove of the new trends, particularly when it comes to gender and sexuality, they are in the same category of the bigots, of the racist and supremacist of earlier times. In fact, Hank, you must be aware of that editorial that appeared in the Charlotte Observer, in which an editorial writer, in fact, I believe it was the Observer's editorial staff, had agreed that the discomfort young girls today may feel over the idea of males showering with them is similar to the discomfort that many white people felt at the idea of showering with African Americans. Now, in one sentence, a major newspaper said that if you feel violated by a member of the opposite sex showering with you, your sense of violation is a similar prejudice to what racially prejudiced people felt during the times of segregation. And of course, the idea is ludicrous. Girls in high school who don't want to shower with boys do not for a minute think that boys are inferior to them the way bigots felt that African Americans were inferior to them. In fact, most young girls are rather crazy about boys, but they don't want to get into a shower with them. So again, we've gone through the looking glass here, Hank. I keep getting back to the word madness because I think it is one of the most appropriate terms for what we're seeing as a culture.
The exact words, by the way, in the article that you referenced are, and I quote, "That leaves the issue of privacy and the oft-stated notion of women and girls sharing bathrooms and locker rooms with someone who has different genitalia. It's an image that's uncomfortable even for some who are sympathetic to the transgender cause." The article concludes by saying, this is what the Obama administration nudged the rest of the country towards Friday. Yes, the thought of male genitalia in girls' locker rooms and vice versa might be distressing to some, but the battle for equality has always been in part about overcoming discomfort. Discomfort with blacks sharing facilities, with gays sharing marriage, and then realizing that it was not nearly so awful as some people imagine. I'm talking to Joe Dallas. He is the author of the cover story, the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry. During the entire month of June, you can get your copy right now by checking it out on the web at equip.org. You can give there in a safe, secure fashion. You can also talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. When we come back from the break, we'll take some of your calls, 888-ASK-HANK.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We'll be back in a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. As the culture shifts toward condoning behaviors it once condemned, so does its language. Yet Christians must resist reframing immorality in positive terms. Is gay Christian an acceptable identity? Other topics include of bathroom bills and basic beliefs, the embodiment of heroism manifest in Christ, thought for food, the genetic fallacy, why accept the Pythagorean theorem, and much more. Stand with CRI during the month of June, and as our thanks for your gift, receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, talking all this broadcast to Joe Dallas, Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. He's an author, and he is the person who wrote the cover story for the special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's titled Of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs, and it deals with the dilemma, a very grave dilemma, that Western culture is wrestling with over gender. If people self-identify as one sex when their anatomy testifies to another, are we then obligated to adjust our policies and practices to their self-view? Should government compel us to adjust? And if it does, how should Christians then respond? Shall anatomical males who call themselves females shall share toilets and showers with women? Are laws preserving strict male and female distinctives unfair to transsexuals? And is it even bigoted to ask questions such as this? If you don't have this issue of the journal, you will be missing out. But I also want to mention that this is a great opportunity for you to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And you can also talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Your questions for Joe Dallas will go right to the phone lines. A Canadian caller, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Leo, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on, and good job in all your efforts. It's much appreciated by everybody I know.
Thanks, Leo.
My question is, I'm going to rephrase my question, and I personally believe we're on the wrong track. I believe we go out and condemn the world for their evilness and sin, but yet we have a log in our own eye. Let me explain further. We condemn homosexuality for not being a male or female, but then end up at the end, when we get married or sexually active, we treat the sexual act no different than the homosexuality people do, right? And this is evidence from the historical church and onward. So I think we have a confusing message. What do you think about that?
Leo, I'm not quite sure what you meant when you said that when we get married, we treat the sexual act just as though it were homosexuality or something similar. Could you explain that a little more?
Yeah, we treat it more as an abstract idea of male and female. But then when we get married, we sterilize the act just the same way as the homosexuality people do. But then we condemn them for intrinsically what is wrong with homosexuality, right?
Well, I don't. First of all, let me take a general point you're making. I agree strongly with you that many Christians have been quick to condemn the sexual sins they don't relate to and then give themselves permission to indulge in other sexual sins that feel comfortable to them. So, for example, there is a completely unacceptable percentage of Christian men who regularly use internet pornography. That does terrible violence to their temples, their own bodies, and certainly does violence to their marriages if they are married men. So, of course, they need to repent of that sin in their lives while continuing to hold proper biblical positions on other sexual sins as well. I don't think God calls us to an either-or, either condemn sexual sin and ignore your own sexual sin, or repent of your own sexual sin but never condemn any other sexual sin. I think both the recognition of immorality in others and in ourselves is important. We're not the policemen of the world. I'm not suggesting that. I am only saying we cannot properly represent God's mind and heart if we are not clearly expressing his position on human behavior. So I do not believe, though, that all Christians are guilty of that kind of hypocrisy you're describing. I think that, in fact, I dare say when most Christians marry, the sex act between husband and wife is a consummation, a part of a covenant that they have made, and an important part of that covenant. So I see no wrong in that. I do think the point you've made that is worth remembering is we must take the log out of our own eye. God forbid we all sit around here pontificating about how bad transgenders are or how bad gays and lesbians are and refuse to look at the many sins evident in our own lives, sexual or otherwise. Of course, we must begin by examining ourselves, but let's not say that means we should not recognize sin for what it is, whoever is practicing it.
Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Sister Rose. She's listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bot Radio. Sister Rose, you're on with Joe Dallas.
Good afternoon, good evening, Joe Dallas. I do listen to your radio station quite often, most of the time when I'm driving. But my question is that, you know, I think about what would Christ do, what would Christ say if this was going on in his day and was part of an outcry amongst his people. And it brings me back to the scripture that says that we are to live peacefully with all men, if at all possible. And also that we should obey the government. And so I just think of that scripture, and I feel like we don't live up to that scripture in the way that Christ meant for it to be, so that we will not get caught up in political debates about what someone has chosen to do with their life. We let the world handle the world's situation, and we pray for God's will to be done in his choosing to allow it to even become a law. And I think if God's people would turn more to his laws and pay more attention to God's law and his word as we do everything else, or other things, I should say, then I believe a lot of these things would be handled in faith, that God will let it come out the way that it's meant to do, to be, because everything is in God's plan. So if God didn't plan or didn't already know that it would come to pass, that this would happen, then we as Christian people are supposed to rest on that if God's will is for it to happen, it will happen. If not, it's not. But we are to live peacefully with all men.
Joe?
That's my
thing. Sister Rose, you bring up some important points. Let me try to take a few of them. First of all, you do bring up the subject of God's foreknowledge and God's foreordination, and I see a difference between the two. God is not shocked at what is happening today. He knew it would happen. But I don't believe that the Bible teaches that God ordains everything which happens in this world. God cannot sin, according to James, nor can he tempt anyone to sin or be tempted to sin himself. So when evil is happening, when wrong of any sort is happening, I certainly don't think it's happening because God intended it to happen. God simply knew that it would happen. And I, on the one hand, agree with you strongly. Paul said, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all people. But, you know, Paul himself did not contradict what he said there in Romans, but in the book of Acts, when his rights as a Roman citizen were about to be violated, he said very plainly, I am a Roman citizen, and therefore I am exempt from the whipping you are about to give to me. There is a place for God's people to say no. Daniel said no to the government when the government said, bow down to another God. Peter and John said no to the authorities when the authorities said, do not preach in the name of Jesus. And I do need to point out here, this is not a matter of cooperation or coexistence. This is a matter of compliance. We are not attempting to impose our views onto the world. We are expressing our views to the world. We hope they will hear our views, but we are not trying to force them to comply with our views. I don't know of any believers who want to criminalize sex change operations or tell people what they may or may not do and the way they dress or behave or what identity they assume. We are being told by the culture that we must comply with the culture, and thereby we are having to say, as Peter and John did, we ought to obey God rather than man. We cannot comply with you by telling you we approve of what you were doing, nor will we allow ourselves to engage in communal nakedness or violations of natural modesty, which would be violations of standards that we hold as being God-ordained standards. So there is a difference between living peaceably with all men versus complying with what all men are demanding from you.
Talking to Joe Dallas, he's the Program Director of Genesis Counseling, Tustin, California. He's an author of some incredible books. You can find him on the web at equip.org. And he is also the author of the cover story of a special edition of the Christian Research Journal. It is available for those who support the ministry all the month of June. You can get in on this right away by simply going to the web at equip.org. And you can also consider subscribing to the Christian Research Journal. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion on the web. Again, equip.org. You can also write us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. Please be patient. Some of you have been hanging on a long time. Joe's going to stay with me, actually, for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue the discussion. This is a critical discussion for Christians to have, because if ever we needed discernment skills, that time is now. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity, as Hispanic pastor Samuel Rodriguez has well said. Francis Schaeffer also noted a long time ago, you tell me what the world is saying today, I'll tell you what the church will be saying 7 years from now. So this is saying that the church is a microcosm of the culture as opposed to being what it ought to be, a change agent in the culture. To be a change agent, you have to be equipped and you have to learn discernment skills. Again, we're going to be talking about that in the next hour of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as I continue my discussion with Joe Dallas. Remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do matter. And it really makes a difference when you stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Should people who feel they belong to a particular gender be allowed to use public bathrooms restricted to that gender, even if their birth certificate state they belong to the opposite gender? Read Joe Dallas's incisive article of Bathroom Bills and Basic Beliefs in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy as our thanks for your gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few.
Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.